Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey.
This is the Blue White Breakdown, the premier podcast for all things Penn State football.
Talk about culture. It's something that should show up in every aspect of your program.
It's the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.
Here are your hosts, Daniel Gallen and Dustin Hoffman-Smith.
Welcome into the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you once again by Penn State Health. Daniel Gallen's here with me. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. We are pre-holiday podcasting, catching you up on the latest in Penn State football. And there's been a few items that have come out, and we're still waiting for the shoe to drop on a few other things as we lead up to the Outback Bowl. So we'll get you caught up on who's in, who's out, the latest commitment that came in the 2023 class, and so we'll do that in a minute. But Daniel, I just wanted to kind of take your temperature on where things are with bowl season in general. Like, I think this has been one of the more chaotic signing day slash bowl lead up. You know, that time has really gotten a little crazy this time around. But we are looking at some events and some teams coming down with COVID. And what are the expectations on your end as far as how wild this thing could get between now and when a lot of these teams play?
Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting couple of weeks. Honestly, I was kind of surprised it took us this long. We're recording this Thursday. Yesterday, Wednesday, Texas A&M dropped out of the Gator Bowl because of COVID cases within their program. And reportedly, Rutgers is going to take their spot. 5-7 Rutgers against 10-3 Wake Forest at 11 a.m. on New Year's Eve. Just what the doctor ordered. Yeah, I mean, I was kind of surprised it took kind of until like December 22nd before we heard about a college football program with these issues. We've seen college basketball programs with issues. The Penn State men's basketball team has canceled its past two games. They're scheduled to play again on December 29th. You just kind of got to wait and see, let this stuff run its course. Just kind of the idea that this is being treated like a one-off thing where it was, oh, Texas A&M is out of the Gator Bowl. We need to find one team to replace them. And it kind of just feels like that this is a one-for-one swap, that everything else is going to be fine. That's kind of the way that it kind of felt like it was being treated to me, because I was like, they were like, Wake Forest needs an opponent. And part of me was like, well, I'm sure that in another day, there's going to be another team that's going to need an opponent. And so it's going to be interesting to watch this ripple effect, because a lot of these teams that are on winter break, or their seasons are over. I mean, Rutgers season has been over since they finished 5-7 almost a month ago. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how this gets navigated. Bowls have kind of the college programs have kind of the power to kind of do whatever they want. We just saw what the NFL just did to kind of get its games in. So it'll be interesting to see how they get these games in and kind of how these teams manage it. A lot of these programs, the players went home for the holiday and then they're going to come back. I think it was Pitt, where they're meeting in Atlanta. They're not all coming back to Pittsburgh. I mean, the majority of the team is flying out of Pittsburgh, but players who went home, it's kind of, okay, meet us in Atlanta, which is interesting given the way that kind of how things are spreading. So I think that it'll be interesting to see what happens when teams actually get to the bowl sites. I think that that'll be probably when things start happening, but fingers crossed, it's the 23rd. I think hopefully we can white knuckle it to January 1st. Hopefully Penn State can get its bowl game in. We can enjoy a nice warm week down in Tampa.
So many of us have been white knuckling everything for the better part of 2 years. And I think we've just gotten fresh reminders that, you know, nothing's over yet when it comes to variants and surges and cases on teams, and how leagues and universities and organizations handle all this. And, you know, I'd be more surprised if there's not another major instance. Maybe it's another Texas A&M situation where a team has to shut down. Maybe it's, you know, 10 guys are out, you know, and I'm really interested to see, you know, how this comes up in the college football playoff, which, you know, you think about it, those three games, the semifinals and the finals, are the only ones that really carry that level of consequence with it. I'm not saying that all these games aren't important, bowl games aren't important, and they aren't meaningful experiences and all that. But in terms of determining something tangible, like a national champion, they have there are three games, and I suspect that there will be a lot more leeway in terms of moving back a day or two, or whatever needs to be done to get those games played. But you could see more of this over the next couple of weeks. So I would say buckle up and get ready for the ride.
Yeah, the impression I got from the announcement that the College Football Playoff made yesterday about how they're navigating things is that it seems like there's not a lot of wiggle room for the semifinals, but for the national championship, obviously, if they get there and there's two teams that are healthy, willing, able, they'll do what they can to get that game in. An interesting couple of weeks. It kind of seemed like for a while everyone was trying to make opt-outs the big story of bowl season instead of the global pandemic, but we're back on that now.
Yeah, no, nobody undercuts the global pandemic. It will keep coming back and getting back into the headlines. Speaking of opt-outs, let's look at where Penn State is right now. The couple big ones that really came out, Brandon Smith and Ellis Brooks, which if you heard James Franklin talk, I think on signing day, he said they were going to be without a couple big-time linebackers. So Brandon Smith opted out, and you sort of thought that Ellis Brooks would be doing the same. You know, I thought Ellis Brooks maybe had a little bit more incentive to come back and play one more time, but he's going to bypass the Outback Bowl and gear up for the draft. And, you know, I don't – in both of these situations, I can't say I really blame them. I think, you know, they're going to try to get down there. And for, like, Ellis Brooks, for example, you know, if he can shave, I don't know – 0.05 of a second off his 40 time or something because he's starting his preparations early, that's probably going to help him a lot. So can't blame these guys. It does having two impact guys from the same position group does hurt, and there are going to be some guys who are going to have to step up and play those roles.
Yeah, I think the big thing with Brooks skipping the bowl game is health. He mentioned that explicitly in his announcement. He showed up at that Iowa game with a cast on his right hand, and I think he played the rest of the season with at least a heavy wrap on that. So, you know, if you can get healthy at this point, that's what you got to do. But yeah, I mean, Brandon Smith isn't really a surprise. That was kind of one that you were expecting to see when a guy comes in as a five-star recruit. This is what you expect. You expect to have him for 3 years and then he goes on. That's the system working. That's things going the way that they're supposed to be going. And then with Brooks, I think that it's kind of the thing where it's time. He's been in there for 5 years. He plays a physically demanding position in terms of the number of hits that he takes and dishes out. Both of them track a lot. And I think that it is an interesting dynamic with two starters from the same position leaving for a bowl game. I think that that's kind of where it's interesting. And it's kind of a fun little storyline for us right now.
What do you think into that? I mean, two names on the list for me for starters are hybrid guys. So Jesse Luketa, I mean, do you think the luxury of him being able to come down and play defensive end goes away? You know, that's what last time we saw Ellis Brooks miss a half, that's what happened. And then Jonathan Sutherland, who you had seen him play in the box a lot, come down from that safety spot and play linebacker. I would anticipate a good chunk of the snaps from those two will go to Sutherland and Luketa.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be some moving pieces there. Luketa said that he is going to play in the bowl game, even though he hasn't made a decision on if he'll come back for a fifth year. But I think that things will kind of shake out where Curtis Jacobs moves from that Sam linebacker position where he would sometimes be out in space, sometimes be out in coverage. He'll move from the Sam to Brandon Smith's spot at the will, which was the box linebacker. Jesse Luketa will play in the middle. And then I think we'll see some Jonathan Sutherland at that Sam spot, where I think Sutherland started there against Rutgers when Jacobs was out with the flu. So I think we'll see Sutherland there, and then maybe some Tyler Elsden. And then it'll be interesting to see how the two freshmen, Kobe King and Jamari Budden, get rotated in over the course of the game, because this is obviously a spot where you want to get those guys some experience because they played early. And then I think that Penn State has kind of been saving their red shirts down the stretch.
And I think you look at this from, you know, the silver lining is if you're trying to get some kind of feel for what that position group looks like in 2022, you can get some more breadcrumbs in this situation. You can see what Kobe King, Tyler Elsden, what they can do as young guys, Jamari Budden, You also have that trio of Philadelphia linebackers coming in the 2022 class that, I don't know, I mean, maybe one or two of them is capable of playing and burning their red shirt early. But this is a position group that will, I don't think you can avoid skewing young next year. Freshman, redshirt freshman, maybe a sophomore type in there. So any little bit of information you can gather from the Outback Bowl, I think could be good.
Yeah, and even with Alice Brooks in the middle of this year as a redshirt senior, it still did kind of skew young because Brandon Smith was a true junior, Curtis Jacobs was a true sophomore. And I mean, I think that kind of speaks to Penn State's ability to, you know, to have Micah Parsons come in and be a three and out, more or less, you know, two and out really type of player, and kind of be able to develop talent right there.
This is the Blue White Breakdown.
Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Have questions? Visit us at curaleaf.com or stop in to see us at any of our 12 locations. Let's talk medical marijuana and let our confidence become yours.
One guy that we did learn was coming back for 2022, playing in the bowl game, Jair Brown. I suspected this is what he was going to do because, you know, his predecessor from Lackawanna College, Jaquan Brisker, had so much success in a similar situation. Waited his turn, played minimal snaps in year one, took a big step forward in year two, and then sort of exploded onto the scene as a star in year three. Jair Brown looks like he can follow that trajectory, and I think it's big for the Penn State program to have him in this game. Assuming we don't know for sure what Jaquan Brisker is going to do just yet as we sit here, but assuming he sits out, Jair Brown is big for this game. And I think he's big for this defense and that position group in 2022 for sure.
Definitely. I thought that Brown was a guy who down the stretch was starting to play himself into the NFL conversation. He popped up in Mel Kiper's position rankings as I think the number six safety available, which I was kind of surprised to see him there. That was kind of an interesting subplot where I think that coming into the year, especially with Brisker coming back for a third year, you thought that Brown was very likely to come back for a third year. He was the big playmaker in the secondary. I think he had 56 solo tackles this year, which was the most solo tackles on the team. He led the team with four interceptions, which I think was the most since 2018, maybe. It'd been a couple of years since someone had that many interceptions. So he really showed a knack for the ball, and I think he'll be a fun player to watch next year when he is the guy back there, when it's kind of his secondary, which with Brisker moving on, Tariq Castro Fields moving on, suddenly, at least in terms of, I think, age, if not Penn State experience, I think Joey Porter Jr. will be in his fourth year next year, but Brown will be like a fifth year senior. I think Brown will be kind of the veteran back there. And especially since that there are some younger players who are going to be taking on bigger roles in the secondary next year. I think that's really big for Penn State.
Another position where you could see youth, maybe not necessarily starting alongside, because you could have a Keaton Ellis join Jair Brown in the starting lineup. You could have Jalen Reed, who came along and burned his red shirt, contend for that starting job. But I think the two deep will be really interesting because you'll have those two guys. You'll also have, you know, this group of incoming recruits, KJ Winston, who is an outstanding true safety. Christian Driver was announced as a safety, who is a really instinctive player, as you would expect, being the son of Donald Driver. Makai Flowers is a very dynamic athlete who could surge when he gets there. So you could see maybe a true freshman. You could see a lot of different scenarios play out at safety, but I think having Jair Brown as that anchor around those guys is huge.
Yeah, especially given that Penn State lost two safeties in the transfer portal. Tyler Rudolph is transferred to UMass, and Enzo Jennings is in the portal. So yeah, that thins your depth right there. Obviously, having Flowers and Driver come in as safeties or as defensive backs helps that depth. And we've seen, especially with a guy like Keaton Ellis, where Penn State's willing to move the pieces around a little bit back there. But I think next year, how that two deep in the secondary plays out is going to be, it's going to be a really fun competition. I mean, off the top of my head right now, I think you're looking at Brown and then either Keaton Ellis or Jalen Reed as the starting safeties, Joey Porter Jr. and Kalen King as the starting corners. But after that, there's a lot of guys that are going to be fighting for playing time, fighting for reps, and kind of making their cases for being onto the field.
And one thing I think the Penn State staff has done a really good job of doing is being able to assess and find those sweet spots where they have needs, and also players can shift into positions that are better fit for their skills. And, you know, the last offseason was, I thought, an outstanding situation for them with what they did with Jesse Lucchetta because they needed to, what they did with Keaton Ellis because of kind of what, where the needs were and where his skills were. There will be a guy or two on the move, and there, it might come as a surprise or not, but they do a good job of finessing their depth and making sure that they've got the right bodies in the right places. So this offseason will be interesting as far as that goes too, not to mention the transfer portal. And, you know, we didn't mention Tyrese Mills, the Lackawanna College safety, who did not sign in December, but says he plans to in February. He'd be another guy to throw into that mix at safety.
Yeah, and I also forgot that Jonathan Sutherland could come back for a sixth year. So that's another another dynamic there. It's hard to keep track of all this roster management at this point.
Especially looking at six-year guys, because that's not – I don't think that's all the way going to be, okay, player A, do you want to come back for your sixth year? We'll welcome you back. I think Penn State's going to have some crunching to do. And I don't think – I think guys who are able to use that COVID year, I don't think it's going to be automatic. But I think in the case of Jonathan Sutherland, if he wants to come back and anchor special teams and be a good depth guy at both safety and linebacker, given where they're at with those things, I think they would welcome him back with open arms.
Yeah, I mean, he's a three-time team captain, and he and Sean Clifford were the first three-time team captains, and Sean Clifford looks like he's going to be a four-time team captain. So it'll be interesting to see if Sutherland is welcomed back as well.
One last note as we transition, and we'll still await a bunch of, you know, Jaquan Brisker, Jahan Dotson, and some others in terms of their bowl
Rashid Walker
announcement. Rashid Walker, you can kind of think and anticipate that probably we won't see those guys in the bowl game, but you just never know. But those announcements will be coming up. We also had a commitment from a few days ago, Joshua Miller in the 2023 class, the fifth commitment in the class. He's a three-star offensive lineman, looks like a better fit on the inside. He has got some big time power in that 6'5", 320 pound frame of his. Nice looking prospect for them, and another addition to the 23 class that looks like it's capable of following up that 22 class and being a very, very good situation for Penn State.
Yeah, I wrote about it a little bit this week, but one thing that stands out to you so far is the size that Penn State is putting together. Joshua Miller is 6'5", 320. Alex Birchmeyer, the five-star interior offensive lineman from Virginia, is, I think, 6'5", 275. And then Mega Barnwell, the tight end from Virginia, depending on where you look, 6'5", 250, 6'5", 265, and remains to be seen whether he'll play tight end or tackle at the next level. So that's definitely something interesting to watch. I mean, it is kind of interesting when you look at how Penn State has been recruiting the offensive line. They need one of those top tier tackles on the edge. I think that you kind of saw it from Rashid Walker. Caden Wallace struggled, and there's some talk that guard might be his better position. And then in the class coming in, Drew Shelton and Malik McNeil obviously need a little bit of time, especially Malik McNeil. And JV Nelson might be another guy who's more of an interior type of lineman. But I mean, I think that it just kind of goes to show that it's hard to find good tackles. It's hard to recruit those good tackles and get them to come. And especially where it seems like edge rushers are better than ever at all levels of football. So it'll be interesting to watch kind of how this class comes together. After the class of 2022 signed, a lot of the questions that I got from our subscribers were kind of, well, what about the offensive line? Did they sign enough offensive linemen? Are any of these offensive linemen going to contribute? So I think that that'll be an interesting kind of storyline to watch, given how that unit was, the struggles were pretty glaring down the stretch and in the running game for the entire season this year.
Quantity of offensive linemen is a question, but it hasn't been very often that Penn State has signed two true blue chippers in the same class, whether that's interior or tackles. The last one I can remember, and it didn't pan out because you had Rashid Walker in the 2018 class and Nana Asidu, who was a very talented, high upside guy from Virginia who had to retire medically with a heart condition. So You know, could they string together another blue chip or two? And that's nothing against your Malik McNeils and your JB Nelsons and a guy like Joshua Miller. But, you know, there's upside and there's polish, and they haven't really gotten guys who have that the right mix of both. You know, they have gotten a bunch of guys who are developmental and look like they could transform into something, but you could use another Drew Shelton type to go with Drew Shelton. You could use another guy in the same tier as Birchmeyer, and that would really kind of ease Penn State's concerns, because, you know, you can say all you want that you develop guys. I think Penn State fans would like to see them get a head start in development when those guys sign in the first place.
Yeah, and I think when you look at some of these offensive linemen that are coming in, it really kind of puts Phil Troutline in the spotlight over these next 2 years about whether he can develop these guys, whether he can get them to that next level. And I think the offensive line competition will be interesting next year. My answer to a lot of readers who were asking about whether these incoming freshmen can they contribute, I would say, well, I think you need to look at the guys that are true freshmen and redshirt freshmen on the roster right now, just given how the developmental curve is physically and in terms of technique. In terms of 2022, the names to know, obviously JB Nelson will be one because he's coming in as a JUCO guy, but Drew Shelton and Malik McNeil aren't necessarily the names to focus on. Next year, you'll focus on Landon Tangwall, Golden Israel Achumba, the other guy I'm blanking on right now, Olu Fashanu. Those are the types of guys who are already on the roster, guys who are already in the program. It's going to be their turn to kind of take the leap. And I think that's just kind of a function of how the offensive line works and making that leap from going up against, I don't know, 240-pound, 230-pound defensive tackles in high school to 300-pounders in the Big Ten.
A couple other names there too, Sal Wormley, who got hurt, and Nick Dawkins. Yep. I mean, that tier of player, next year is kind of that time where it's time to move up the depth chart. And hopefully, you know, in Penn State's case, they get one or two of them who can make that move and probably go a long way towards easing concerns about depth there. So as Daniel Gallen, I'm Dustin Hockensmith for this edition of the Blue White Breakdown, pre-holiday edition. Make sure you get enjoy your holiday. Don't pay too much attention to the transfer portal or bowl opt-outs or opt-ins. There will be a time and a place for that. And the place will be PennLive.com/PennStateFootball. Follow Daniel on Twitter. He'll have his laptop and his microphone everywhere he goes all holiday weekend into next week before they leave for the bowl game at Daniel JT Gallen. Check us out, the Blue White Breakdown. We record a bunch of times every week, all of us. You can find it on Alexa, Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, and on YouTube as well. Thanks for tuning in. Happy holidays, and we'll see you next time on the Blue White Breakdown.
This is the Blue White Breakdown.